Talking about emotions last week, and we started on anger. We had just touched on anger, and our time was up. So we're going to continue on anger tonight. And I want to make you understand that being angry is scriptural. There is nothing wrong with getting angry. Amen. And any place you find anger, you will find love. Anger is not the opposite of love. It is a result of love. Amen. The opposite of love is indifference. Right. If you do not care, if it doesn't matter to you, if you can ignore the situation, then there is not love in that situation. But anytime there is anger, there is anger because of love for somebody. It might be love for yourself. It might be love for a family member. It may be love for God. But there will always be love whenever there is anger. And my challenge to you is when you get angry, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, who do I love?
All right.
Who do I love? And that will tell you whether this anger is justified or not, based on what you are loving. Okay? Now, it gets very, very big from that, but we can take example after example after example of times when people have gotten angry, and we can take it back to what they have loved. And last week I gave you the example of loving my child and how angry I got. You can love money and get angry at people. You know, some people will love people and use money. Other people will use people and love money. You see, you are either going to use people and love money, or you're going to love people and use money. And your anger will tell you where you fall into what you love. You want to know what you love? Find out what makes you angry. Okay? Now, we're going to look tonight at a very interesting passage. I'm taking a little detour. It's not on your sheet, but as I was really praying and studying this week, I thought, I'm really going to display to these women from Scripture where there was love. And it's a very interesting thing. We're going to look at it rather deeply tonight, and you're going to find out that there was perverted love, that there was godly love, and that there was pure love, all based on how they got angry. I want you all to go to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. It's in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. Ooh! Wow.
Full of it.
Exodus 32. Okay. We're going to go through this chapter because it's very, very important. There are certain things that should just make you angry all the time. The Bible says that sin should make you angry all the time. That injustice and lack of mercy should make you angry all the time. When you see people being mistreated, it should make you angry all the time. When you see God being destroyed in the public arena, it should make you angry all the time. There are certain things that should just make you angry all the time. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." Now they're getting angry at Moses. You know why? They love themselves. They're saying, look, he brought us up out of Egypt, and look, now he's disappeared, and he's left us here all by ourselves. They don't know what's happened to him. Over and over again, the children of Israel say, "You brought us up out of Egypt only to have us die." Every time they would get angry, it's because they were loving themselves. Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him, and he made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." That's sickening. That is absolutely sickening. And ladies, God has brought you so far. Don't turn to other things at this point in your walk with Him. He has brought you too far to look at anything else.
Amen.
He has brought you too far. And I've told you this many times, and I will tell you many more times, but I will tell you this about everyone that you come into contact with. If they cannot give you scripture, you don't have to believe them.
Right.
You make sure that every advice you get is based on the Word of God and nothing else.
Right.
Other than that, it's just somebody's opinion. Mm-hmm. You see, but here they were saying, you know what? We don't know what's happening to Moses. Make us a god. He brought us up out of here, and now he's disappeared. We need a god that we can worship, and he makes this calf out of the gold and silver. Now, if we're going to back up just a little bit. And God told Moses and the children of Israel, when you leave Egypt, you ask them for all their gold and silver. I am going to bless you with all that gold and silver to carry out of Egypt with you. And God gave them all of that gold and silver as a blessing for leaving Egypt, and they turn around and they make it a god. God has blessed us with so many things. He's blessed us with money. He has blessed us with children. He has blessed us with homes. He has blessed us with cars. He has blessed us with so many things. And we turn around and worship them instead of worshiping God the Creator.
The calf. Was that one of the gods they saw in Egypt? I don't know.
Scripture doesn't tell us that, but it does tell us that he told them, when you leave Egypt, take all of the gold and silver with you. And the Egyptians, God caused the Egyptians to just say, here, get out of here, take all of my gold, take all of my silver, take everything. And they walk out of there as wealthy as they could possibly be, owning all the gold and silver in the whole world, and they turn around and they worship it. Oh, we have to be so careful that we don't start worshiping the things.
Amen.
God wants to bless us abundantly, but he does not want to bless us so that we worship it. He wants to bless us because he loves us.
Amen.
And he has multiple blessings for us, but he says you have to handle those blessings in the right way.
Yes.
They cannot be your god. And I'm telling you, there are people here, you know, there are people that have put all kinds of things in front of worshiping God. Call themselves Christians, but they'll worship everything else before they'll worship God Almighty with the very things that he has blessed them with. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, let's be so careful that we don't fall into that. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Mm-hmm. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you have brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and I may destroy them." God is very angry that they have taken his blessing and they have started worshiping it. Ladies and gentlemen, when we start taking what God has blessed us with and we start worshiping it, God is very angry. That makes God angry. Let's continue. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. O Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to whom you swore your own self. I will make descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies, and I will give descendants the land I promised, and I will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. When you start praying for people who are living in sin, you can spare them the wrath of God. Do you understand how powerful your prayers are? Oh God, I know they're living in sin, but please do not carry out your wrath upon them. And God said, okay. Do you remember when Moses was looking at, or Abraham was looking at Sodom and Gomorrah? God said, get Lot out of there, I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham said, wait a minute. If I can find 40 righteous people, will you save it? Well, wait, if I can find 30 righteous, will you save it? If I can find 15 righteous, will you save it? And every time God said, yes, I'll do that for you. You see, when we come before God himself and we say, look, I know my child is not living for you, but will you please have mercy on him? God will hear your prayers and he will answer your prayers.
Amen.
Please don't give up praying for your children. We can see here very clearly that God will hear your prayers and he will relent from the wrath that they deserve. But let's be honest, we all deserved it, didn't we? And it's only the blood of Jesus that has caused him to not pour out his wrath upon us.
Right.
Don't quit praying for those people in your life who need the Lord. You see, Moses said, wait a minute, God, wait. And God relented. But now I want you to see something very interesting. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, there is a sound of war in the camp. Moses said, that's not the sound of victory. It's not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing I hear. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned. And he threw the tablets from his hand, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain. Ladies, sin should make you angry. Sin should make you angry. When you see the things going on in this world, it should make you angry. Our society has made it fun. They've made it funny. They have made it attractive. They have made it tolerant. They have made everything that is sinful beautiful in the sight of man. It should make the people of God very, very angry. You see, when you are angry at sin, you are demonstrating your love for God. And the more you love God, the more sin is going to make you angry. You see, you cannot love sin and love God both. The Bible says, Jesus said, you cannot love both God and mammon. You can't love the world and love God at the same time. The two will never, ever happen. But more than not loving it, it should make you angry. It should make you angry. And a lot of you have been around me. You know I'm pretty opinionated. And Yeah, George Kinzer and I have a lot in common. He and I can get into some good discussion, can't we, Ellen? And we get angry over the horrible injustices that are happening in this world, all in the name of government.
Right then.
And it is evil. It is nothing but pure evil, and God has spoken out against it. And here we are, as a country, people aren't angry about it. People aren't angry. We have Christians being killed around the world. How many people have actually been angry about that? Yeah. Cindy, I saw your hand.
My struggle is, I can be angry at sin, but my biggest struggle is I get angry at the person who's given over to that, and the people in the web, or they're deceived by sin or whatever. And so my tendency is to, like, but I'm learning, God's helping me pray for that person, because God loves that person.
Why? All right, that's a very good point. Why does God hate sin?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why does God hate sin? Does He not want us to have a good time?
The opposite of Him. God is good. It's the opposite of God. Sin is the opposite of God.
Keep going. Why is God angry at sin?
It's rebellion. Sin is rebellion.
It's substituting that thing or something.
The opposite of His word.
Keep going. Why is God angry at sin?
Going against Him.
Come on. Anywhere there is anger, there is also
love.
God loves us so much that the only things that He has said are sinful are things that are going to hurt us, because He loves us so much. If God says it is sin because it will hurt us. And He loves us so much that sin makes Him angry.
Right.
You see, it's love manifested in anger. And what I want you to understand is that God loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. He sent Jesus to die for me, a horrible sinner who needed the grace and love of God in my life. He loves us, but He will never, ever be tolerant of sin, because in order to do that, He can no longer be love. And God's love is so pure that He will always have to be angry at sin, because to not be angry at sin means He has to devalue His love, and it is no longer pure. Now, do you understand that? That is the whole reason God is angry at sin. It's because He loves every one of us. He is not out to destroy any of us, just the opposite. He is trying to keep us from destroying ourselves. And if we are left, according to the Bible, to our own ways, we will all destroy ourselves. That is what we will do. We're pretty disgusting people without Christ.
Amen.
The very best person you know without Christ is disgusting. That's what Scripture says.
God said He's a jealous God. So God will not share us with the things of the world. He also says, separate ourselves from the world. Be not like the world.
Right.
Come out from among her. We don't get out there and let it all hang out.
Right. He wants us to be he wants us to be a light in the world.
Yes.
Amen.
Without being partaking in the sin of the world. You see, He wants us to be in the world. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you do not participate in their sin. You see, He gets angry about that. But the bigger picture I want you all to leave here with is that our prayers are so powerful that when we are praying for people who are living in sin, God will delay His punishment to give them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. That is the exciting news of the gospel.
Georgia, did you hear what's going on with North Carolina, that situation?
Yeah.
Yes, it was really exciting to see what the 700 called this morning, where the prisoner was like this. I didn't understand, like the two guards, and then the people were speaking, the ones that the family were, the victim that he heard and the family were saying, we forgive you. Mm-hmm. That blew me away.
Right.
We forgive you.
Yeah. Right. Right. And you know, if any of them want to be angry because their loved one was killed, that is a very perfect anger. There's nothing wrong with being angry. And many of us in this room have been hurt. I have been hurt. I don't know about any of the rest of you. And I love myself enough that made me pretty angry. And there's nothing wrong with loving yourself and getting angry when somebody has hurt you. That is very godly principle. Amen. That is a very godly principle. But understand that anger cannot control you. It's the love that produces that anger that has to be in control. But to suppress this anger and to try and to keep it from feeling angry is not scriptural at all, and it will destroy you. You have to be angry. Ephesians 4 says to be angry and sin not. You can be angry. But the key is to understand, why am I angry? And who am I protecting and who do I love here? And what am I doing about it? You see, when we get to the point where we recognize anger is an outflow of love, and we then can recognize that it is because of our love for Jesus Christ that we are angry. Whether it's love for ourselves, because we only love ourselves because we know who we are in Christ. Or if it's our love for other people, or if it's our love for God. Whatever the focus of your love is, when you recognize your anger is because you have an abounding love for Jesus Christ Himself, it's going to change your life. It is going to change you. You are going to find out that you have a tremendous amount of love in you, and the Bible says that love will overtake everything that you walk into. It will overtake your home. It will overtake your job. It will overtake your marriage. It will overtake your children. It will overtake your enemies. That love is going to overtake every situation you're in. And it will start a change in you. It will start a change in you that will change everything around you. And you're going to say, you know what? It's okay that I was angry because I am showing love. And I am filled with the love of Christ. So ladies, anger at the right things for the right reason will fill you with a tremendous amount of love that will change you. Revival is coming. There's a change coming. Let it start in me. Amen.
Amen.